computer wants a shot at the big time.
One song, glory.
Sorry, that I feel like that's the one for some reason. That's the one that every time you do it, it hits me like a freight train.
I forced you to hear it so many times. So many times as a youth.
I have involuntarily seen Rent via you 400 times.
I was not saying, that at I least 100 times, like against your will. You watched it.
Well, it's like, and you know what? I like Rent. I didn't even like hate Rent. It was just like, I just feel like it was always on.
It was.
Through a little stint of your life.
A solid 6 months. It was always on. 6 months. Consistently. I think I watched it every single day for 6 months, if not multiple times a day. And it still has a deep hold on me. It was a couple of years ago that it was on Netflix and I put it on. I was like, oh, Rent. I'll put it on and clean my house. And I put it on and sat down and proceeded to become part of the couch until it ended. And I was like, shit. Like, it was so powerful.
And it's, listen, that's no short film.
Ah, no. It's like a, was it 2 hours? I think it's a full feature length film.
It feels so much longer.
See, for me, it feels like it's 10 seconds long. I feel like that movie, I can blink and it's over. Like, it's over. So granted, I feel like the end kind of drags, like when you're getting into the, when you're living in America, once you're there, I'm like, I am starting to lose steam a little bit, but like, it's still great. And I still love it. It's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could tell you what happens in Rent.
You've seen it so many times.
I know. I mean, I know the basics, but like,
dude, we've got a wimp cat Rent.
Oh my God.
We've got a wimp cat Rent.
Oh my God, Macy. It's 40 hours long.
It's though. 2 hours long. I don't want to hear that dog shit. We just waded through 9 weeks of MILF Manor, each one of those episodes being 50 minutes long. So I don't want to hear too long if it's Rent on the table. I'm getting flushed. I can't take this.
There was a moment. And I know you said you recently did this on an episode as well, but I was opening up everything here to get recorded. And I saw my notes for MILF Manor, and for a brief second, I was like, what are we doing MILF Manor?
What if? Like, it's like a nightmare that you realize is like you never woke up from, but you get dragged back to and you haven't ended the loop. And in fact, you're still very much in it. We're in Mineral Wells. It's our new mineral. It is our entertainment Mineral Wells.
We're going to wake up one day and we're going to have been not only in Mineral Wells, but watching MILF Manor in Mineral Wells.
We wake up in the manor. Imagine.
We're the MILFs? We've been the MILFs the whole time.
We're the MILFs the whole time, dude. Oh, that's terrible. That's a nightmare.
I also want to say up front, please be patient with, like, I know I don't know how much it's going to affect you, but, like, I guess, like, it is the pollen. I don't know. But I feel like a tube of toothpaste that you've squeezed everything up to the top.
I'm coming fresh from the studio. I taught an in-person class this morning, and I don't always have to like take a water break in class. But today I had to take multiple, and I could feel just be like, and now, and it would just be like, and I was just like, gross. I hate this, but no, it's the pollen. My car was freshly dusted this morning. And
I do like when the cars get a dusting. I know it's not ideal. I know people hate it, and I get it. I hate it. But like it, for some reason, I'm just like, oh,
it's time. Spring's back. Yeah. Yeah. My big ass Bradford pear is just shitting flowers, little white flowers on everything right now. They're just blowing off it. And
did you know
the wind.
That there is a big hate for Bradford
pears? Oh, yeah. Oh, there.
I didn't know that.
Rightly so, for a lot of reasons. Yeah.
I have such a sweet tie
I do too.
To the Bradford pear that was outside of my window for the majority of my growing up years.
Yeah.
And I know dick shit about trees.
It's a very suburban tree.
Well, I just saw the hate for it. And people say it smells like fish.
I don't get that. We have a massive Bradford pear that is like unusually large because usually they're little landscape trees, right? You know, this one is fucking huge. It was planted 30 years ago when this house was planted and it is just a big boy. And it is how we know it is the harbinger of spring on the property. Cause when it blooms and it's like the first thing to bloom, I know spring like is tooting its way on in. It has arrived. But everything is covered in these little white flowers because they then like spit off of it everywhere and carry off in the wind. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I guess that's something I have to deal with. Yeah. I've never known that it was hated. And I guess I like it.
I mean, I like my tree, but we have had to talk about cutting it down because not only is it like it is comedically full of woodpecker holes. It's like full of so many woodpecker holes that you're like, this is too many woodpecker holes. Like, this just looks like there's too many on this tree. This is too many. They need to move on to a different tree. And it's still alive and it blooms, but they're famous for falling, Bradford pears. It's like one of the big things. They're famous for blowing over because they don't have that. I think they don't have that strong of a root system. And it's
what a shit thing to be famous for.
Oh, I know. It's not good. And it is a big one. And it is right by my bathroom. And if it came between my bathroom and my bathtub and this tree becoming an issue, listen, I got to go full flavor on this and pick my bathtub and axe that tree right down.
What if you were in the bathtub?
I know.
And it fell.
Dude, it's windy sometimes. Whoa. Yeah. But it seems fine for now. But it is what we have to side-eye our Bradford pear, which many people have to side-eye their Bradford pears, which is the problem.
I love a good, dude, I love side eye. I love side eye. I love side eye. This is such just a random thing to talk about. But listen, it is a silly sode. You already knew that because of the title. Listen, I was appreciating the other day all the different kinds of side eye you can give. Oh. Like, there's the real sus one. But, like, I've been seeing a lot. Listen, the algorithm for TikTok is, like, when it gets a whiff that you might have found something interesting or funny, it's going to push every version of that to your face hole. So I've been getting so many, like, side-eyeing animals that, like, did something and they're guilty and they're just sitting, you know, when they give you the...
My personal favorite. Good, like, it is my personal favorite.
They act like they don't see you, but they're checking to see if you're there.
I live with the queen of it. I live with the master.
Will give like a... She'll give like a mean side-eye.
A sizzling side-eye. She knows all versions and forms of the side-eye. Very rarely will she look at me straight on. Very rarely does she honor us with looking at us. It's that severe.
I don't know if it's like... It seems like with Gizzy, it could be half... Gizzy, year of context. Gizzy is Macy's dog.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it could be half... like... Half anger or half like sass, but the other half could just be Gizzy not wanting to turn her head.
It's absolutely both. Gizzy is a cauldron of pride and sloth, and they battle each other every day. It's incredible. It makes her a true force and a formidable housemate in many ways.
It makes her incredibly relatable as well.
She's a human dog. She's a human dog, and she insists upon being treated as a roommate, not a dog. We learned this a long time ago, and I should have known it when I picked her out, because what I thought was like, oh, look at this, like, sweet little wizened puppy. It was actually a puppy just refusing to get the fuck out of my way and was just staring me down already as, like, an eight-week-old little potato corgi.
Yeah.
And I read it wrong, but she is now our housemate Gizzy.
Who else could live with Gizzy, though?
No one.
Like, who else would she have gone to?
We are so forged together, she and me. Like, it is just, dude, I drug her to college. I forget that sometimes. Like, I took her to college with me. Like, she just, I know that she was so pissed about it. Oh God! But no, I love a side eye. We get the really sizzlers from her, and from Dino we just get like crackhead side eye.
Yeah, different energy.
It's like she just kind of will like flick her eyes at you.
Real quick. Just like making sure you're still there because they're just not sure if they're gonna like pounce on you, yeah, or like if they're afraid of you,
or if she could just, I feel like she worries about like that she could spontaneously combust at any time. I feel like she thinks about things like that. She's just the most, I feel like she has intrusive thoughts.
Dinah, you're of context, Dinah is Macy's other dog.
The other corgi.
Dinah, for sure, is neurotic.
Yes.
100%.
She is an interesting creature. We've had to learn many things about her. She didn't eat for the first, like, 4 years of her life. We had to fight to get her to eat. It was a nightmare. She wouldn't eat anything. You know what she needed after she was 4 years old and it took 4 years and discovery of this on accident? A fucking plate. She needed a plate. And if I feed her her food on a plate, she'll eat every bit of it and get so excited. But if you put that shit in a bowl, you might as well have, like, put it in the mouth of a python and told her to eat it. She's not doing it.
Maybe it's like, you know how cats are scared of like cucumbers because they think they're
so
snakes?
Interesting. Yeah, it's like a, and she'll just sit by it and do the twitchy side eye at it.
Yeah, yeah, and just look like, I don't trust this.
And so for years we were like,
it's going to be the dune worm. Like, and she's going to try to take a bite and it's going to come get her.
It's going to come get her. But then we learned, and now she's finally like put some weight on and she's not like a little scrawny, sad little dog because like we'd put tuna and shit on her food and be like, eat the food, and went to, and there, the vet was like, she's fine, she needed a plate, man. So like she's our she's needed particular her,
she needed her specific dining utensils. She did. Yeah, a true neurodivergent queen. Yes. Love.
Oh wow. Yeah,
okay. And hey, look, we can't leave the third one out. How's Penny doing?
Penny's the easiest update. dog I've ever had. Penny's so
dog update.
She's so creepy and I love it. She gets creepier every day.
Yeah,
she's a little ghost that lives in this house being creepy, and she's so fucking funny because of it, and I love it for her. It's great for all of us.
I've got a question for you that popped up because you just said she's a ghost that lives in this house, which agree. And by the way, you've never seen a more snake looking dog in your life.
Oh, serpentine.
Have you ever tried to watch a movie and for many years this movie was your foe and you just couldn't for whatever reason get through it? Or okay. Okay. What is it?
I know that I have done this. I know that I have done this. I'm having a hard time remembering it, but that struck a chord with me, and it's like, yes, yeah. I got to think about this. Why? What's yours?
Like a movie?
Let me think.
Okay. Mine is like a horror. I think I say it's a horror flick, and the only reason I say I think is because I think it turns out to be more psychological horror. Anyway, it's a horror flick, and it's called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
That's long.
I believe that is the name.
That's a long title.
A long title. Yeah. I love a ridiculous title.
I mean, we have a long title. I respect it.
We need to add on to our
title. We should. Yeah.
We really do. We need to put like colon, you know, I don't know, the podcast where they talk about buttholes.
We should. We've been around long enough. We can do that. We could amend it.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie, I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. I fall asleep every time I put it on. This movie is like NyQuil to me.
Okay.
And it's not that it's boring or I hate it or it's bad. I haven't seen enough to form an opinion. I've seen the first 15 minutes 73 times in my life.
Uh-huh.
I just can't. There's something about it that I cannot stay awake through. And it's just like every time I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to finish this fucking film and see, is she a ghost? What's the pretty thing? Why is it pretty? And then about 15 minutes into the film, I just go, oh no, it's happening. And I fall asleep like a dad in my chair.
What if you don't know it, but somebody like put a spell on you and it went a little bit wrong, but maybe it was like you were not supposed to be able to watch your favorite movie, but it just kind of flounced around to this specific movie somehow.
The next movie that you try to watch.
And you just can't finish it. And so your sleep spell triggers and you just go to sleep.
I would not be, because it is that intense. I feel like I've sat down, chugged 45 Red Bulls, done like a couple of fucking lines, and set my intention to watch this film. And then fell asleep.
We need to wimp cap that one. Oh, so you have to.
We show up and I'm just like, well, I tried.
Oh my God. I've got one, and this is actually not one, but it's a grouping. And I actually really like these films. I think they are beautiful and very well done, but because they are so beautiful and whimsical and comforting, I cannot stay awake in Miyazaki films. I love them.
Okay.
I love Howl's Moving Castle. I loved what I saw of Kiki's Delivery Service before I fell asleep because I was so comforted and felt so safe and warm that I fell asleep. I loved what I saw of Princess Mononoke before I conked out. Like, it's just the animation style and the soft voices and like the soft music. Dude, it's like the perfect cocktail knock me out. And it's every time I'm so interested and like comforted, even if it's like, you know, like it's not that the films are just easy. You know, there's a storyline to go, but it's like the presentation is so gentle that I can just fall right to sleep. And I hate that because I think they're really good. But it's hard for me to get through them because I'm so cozy.
Kiki's is particularly hard in that way for me because it's so much of the film is, you can't get more cozy than like a fucking little bakery shop. Are you kidding me?
And when like she's on her little broom, the little scenes of her flying on her broom, dude, I'm asleep.
I'm out. Yeah. Put me out.
So sweet.
Put me out.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I still haven't seen the Robert Pattinson one.
Oh, yeah. Should wimp cap that.
We need to wimp cap that. After we finish, well, I guess we've got Bridgerton. But we need to just have a period. Maybe in the fall, we just do like a fall wimp cap series. And we just bang out like five
a whole season of simp cap of just wimp
of
caps.
Of wimp caps, man. And just like roll, because we've got a list a mile long of one-offs. And like we did a thread on Patreon and y'all came with some good ones. Yeah. And like we've got work to do.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Dude.
I am
like 200 pages from finishing Kushiel's Chosen because I have to reread it before reading it again to put it together to present. And like, I'm not
here.
Did
we land?
I'm not here anywhere. I've not been in this room this whole fucking episode. I am in that fucking book. I can't. I've been walking around in a daze, dude. This is my third read. It doesn't matter. Like, I've read it.
It doesn't matter.
I didn't eat until 3 p.m. yesterday because I was reading a book I've read for the third time. It's that fucking good. It's that fucking good. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Dude, so many times reading this book. Because last time I didn't read through Kushiel's Dart before starting the series of Simp Cap with it. Because I knew that one. I'd already read that one three times before starting.
Pause. So you're reading it now, currently.
I'm reading it now, all the way through.
And you're going to...
And I'm going to do it again. But I did wind up reading Kushiel's Dart twice in the process. So I'm going to read this twice through, too. But I wanted... This one's a lot more political. And, like, I had to read it through once just to make sure.
I'm already scared.
I got it.
The names.
Dude, I've got, they're different. Or they're different. But anyway, like, I'm so neck deep, dude. I've let it slip over me again. And I'm already becoming obsessed. It's so delicious. I'm getting tabs today. And I can't, all as I've been reading, so every single thing, I'm like, I can't wait to tell Charlie this. I cannot wait to tell Charlie this. Oh my God.
Did we decide in our live? We do lives.
No, we need to do another poll.
Check it out.
We need to do another poll in the coven to see, because it was an even split in the live of if this week we're going to do a study sesh or if we're going to do a wimp cap, which we could just bang out a wimp cap and everybody take a breath, prepare, listen through to Kushiel's Dart, read it, and like...
Right.
Then we could do. But we'll do it
sure
if we want.
We'll see. Yeah, I guess because that does pose a problem, because if we're recording tomorrow, then we need to know PDQ. So you guys, as you're hearing this, check out Facebook. There may or may not be a poll pin. There will be.
In the Patreon group. We're going to put it in there. We're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry I keep saying so much. I'm struggling with that.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. I've been on it because I, again, re-listened to Kushiel's Dart recently, the simp cap of it, talking about it. And I say, you know, all the time. And I don't realize that I do. And I'm not too terrible about picking up on things that I do a lot, because like you just have to kind of remove a part of yourself from that when you edit yourself like we do.
Right. Yeah.
But man, just listening through it, I heard it so often and I was like, I want to try. It's going to fail by like halfway through the first episode. I know it, but I want to try to see if I can handle that.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. So I think that everyone has little, what would you even call it? Just little things that they do when they talk.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And we're, as people, not just like me and you, but just people, I think are extra critical of it when they hear themselves, you know? And nobody, it takes some getting used to hear your own voice and not being like, ugh, you know, because we hear it differently in our own heads. Mm-hmm. Like my head voice is a lot deeper. I don't know if that's true across the board. But I feel like in my head, I sound a lot more like Daria than I do when I talk. And I sound more like, I don't know, like high-pitched or bubbly or something. And I'm like, who's that girl?
I think it's because it resonates in your head.
Because it like goes through your bones.
Yeah, because I have a pretty deep voice and it sounds even deeper to me in my
really?
Head. Yeah.
See, I don't. Oh, in your head. Yeah. Sounds deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. The weirdest thing happened to me the other day. I just remembered. I got to tell you this. I don't understand this. And it's not even a big deal. It's one of those weird things that happens that I'm like, what is the purpose of this? What is the point of this? I don't understand this. Oh, I'm so glad I remembered. I was really, really like telling my brain, like, remember this, please.
The way you adjusted your jacket when you said that, you're like, I got to tell you this.
All right. So I helped Rustin move the other day. My brother, Rustin, year of context.
And, year of context. Remember you sent me that picture of your busted up hand?
Dude, it's getting so – I can finally move it now. Like, because, you know, like when you get like a road rash scrape, you don't even want to move that area of the body. And it was only on my knuckles. So it was like only on the points of movement. So I like –
You looked like a fighter
for
a couple of days.
It looked pretty sweet. And, but I drug it down a stucco wall, which was not fun. And, anyway, so one of these moments I was walking out to the U-Haul and this U-Haul was parked in an open parking lot, right? So nothing above, nothing around. And it's in the middle of like this parking lot, like kind of just taking up a few spots because it was mostly empty and it was angled to where we were walking out. And it was just me. And I was walking out with a box. And I went to go up the ramp to like, cause you know, they got them cool, like bouncy ramps that come out of the U-Hauls that aren't like bouncy, but they feel bouncy when you go down. Yeah. They're fun. They're like a diving board. And
you just kind of stand on it.
Yeah. It's just kind of, you can bounce your way, especially if you like run down it, it launches you off. It's so great.
Gives you that momentum.
Oh, I love it. I did it too many times. And so I was walking up to the ramp and from nowhere, like, from nowhere above, this like little pebble just appears and lands on the ramp and just settled on the ramp. And
isn't that a thing?
It's like it's what do they call it?
Little stones or pebbles?
Like apparating or just like it apports and it just shows up and like it, but it can't, it just, what's the point of this? I picked it up because I had to. I had my fanny pack on. So I picked it up and was like, I guess I take you. And it's just, it's like a similar like parking lot kind of gravelly rock, but it didn't kick up. It appeared from, I didn't even see like the streak down. You know, I didn't even see, it just like, it showed up like a couple of feet from the ramp and just bink, landed. It didn't even bounce. It didn't bounce. So it was like, it barely was dropped from any height at all. Like, it was so strange.
Was this before or after you busted your hand?
After.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit. I was going to say
that sucked. It was early on when I did it. Like, it was like, I did that so early on in the day.
What the hell? Did anything happen of note after that?
It was so strange. And it was just one of those things where, like, in the moment, it stopped me. I had a box and it stopped me in my tracks. And I looked at it and then I went up the ramp to put the box down and kind of came back and, like, looked up. And looked around, you know, and was like, and I picked it up and didn't think about it until like 2 days later. And then I was like,
do you still have it?
Yeah, I still have it. I mean, I assume I still have it. It should be in my fanny pack still. I haven't like pulled it out and checked, but if it's not in there, it's gone back to where, but I did put it in there. I know for a fact I put it in there. So
you should, okay. First of all, you should check that.
I will check that. I'll check and report. Yeah.
Thank you.
I will.
Next, if anyone knows, what's the lore on that? What's the lore on, because I know pennies is a thing also, right? Isn't change like kind of randomly just happening?
Rocks. That's a thing. Yeah, change, rocks, weird shit like marbles and buttons.
Now, this was not on your property. So.
No, this was at an apartment complex. But it was right, it was for me. Because it was right as I was walking up, right as my eyes were looking, right where it was, it appeared and just plinked. Boop. It didn't bounce. Maybe and that was so strange. Maybe I was so pissed about my fucking hand that I just angrily
all that hatred
hailed a rock from the sky.
Solidify.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your hate rock.
It's hate rock. That's a Rock Snake song. Hate rock. Come on.
Hate rock. Attitude.
Horrible.
Okay.
Hate rock. But yeah, that's the first time that's ever happened to me. I believe the Haunted Objects podcast that the Newkirks do. I don't remember the episode, but they did a really interesting episode on stuff that like just appears and apports in places. Mm. But it was what I thought of when I was looking at this, and it just went plink and landed. But yeah, I don't know. It was the first time I've ever seen something like that happen, though. I feel like I've heard things kind of fall and walk in and be like, I didn't put you there. But like, it happened in front of my eyeballs.
Let us know over on our Facebook.
Yeah, has that happened to you?
In the show notes. I can't say that that's ever happened to me, but I have heard about it. And the non-bouncing.
The non-bouncing was weird. Like, and it landed, and it should have bounced because it landed on a ramp. And they are, like, grooved. So it's like, you know, bio rights, it could have settled. But, like, if something had fall, if, like, a bird dropped it, which was the one thing I was thinking of. I was like, maybe a bird had this for some reason.
That's kind of what I was
thinking. And its little foot, it would have bounced.
But like, it, yeah, especially if it was high enough that you didn't see the bird.
It landed like the Ring of Power on the floor. It just landed. Yeah. And everything about it was strange. But it's just the most normal looking little like concrete rock you've ever seen.
Cute.
Yeah.
Well, the Ring of Power wasn't that...
No, it's just gold band.
Wasn't that special. Yeah. It was just a band.
Frodo didn't think it was shit, really. He was like, yeah, it's nice.
Gandalf had to come kick everybody's dicks in and show them what happens. Yeah.
Took a really long time, though.
It's quite cool. That.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I'm glad I got that out. I needed to get that out.
I haven't had any kind of... I wish I had something like that to share. Besides an uptick... In the, what do they call it? It's not hypnic jerk, because that's when you twitch in your sleep.
Oh, I do that so bad.
When you twitch out of your, when you're falling asleep.
So bad.
Ugh. Let me ask you this. Okay, very specific hypnic jerk question. As a hypnic jerker myself, does it usually accompany a dream of you falling?
A lot of the time it does, but not always. Sometimes it just happens, which is annoying. And it never, ever happens to me if I'm in my bed. It only happens if I am dozing on the couch.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like you're in a less deep state. Cause like, you know, you're like, I should go get in my bed.
My body refuses to sleep in the day. And I feel like the whole time. And if I'm sleeping if I'm on the couch sleeping, it's more daytime. I feel like my body's like, get the fuck up, get up. And it just will not let me do it. Yeah. And then it's over. And it's like, okay, well, I'm up now. Okay.
I always dream that I am just walking along. And I'm usually in like a pack of people. I'm like with a pack of people. And then I step in like a puddle with my pack of people.
Pack of people stepping in a puddle.
And I'm the only one that just whoop. Slips through the deepest puddle you've ever seen. And that's when I... But my thing is like, how does... And I'm sure there's some science nerd who could tell me what's happening here. But, like, how am I dreaming about something that, like, how did I know I was going to I was going to jerk? You know what I mean? Like, what made me have the dream that I'm going to, and then I.
Yeah. Why did your brain set you up for this? Why did it cue you? Yeah. And
then my body was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You know? It queued up a bit to make it happen.
It was the movie. I don't know if this part was in the book because it has been a long time, but have you ever seen or read John Dies at the End?
I think I saw John Dies at the End 45 years ago. I don't remember it.
There's a bit where one of the characters is talking and they say something about, like, have you ever dreamed that it was gonna, like, you got woken up because of the thunder? Mm. And then it, like, it's like, how did... Oh, fuck. Of course, now that I'm trying to say it here, recorded for you to your ears, that I can't remember. But it was something about, like, have you ever dreamed about something that was going to happen and it woke you up and then it happened? Like, how did you know that that was about to happen? Mm-hmm. You know? Of course, now I'm phrasing it in a way that's a lot less impressive.
Yeah, because in that way, I'm like, it probably thundered before and you heard it.
That, yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, like, yeah. Anything else, yeah, I get what you're saying. It could be expanded to be like, how do you know? But I don't do cool dream shit like that. I don't have precognition in my dreams. I don't have dreams that do shit for me really at all. I
get some.
I'm not a dreamer.
Really half-assed lucid dreaming with fake cutout Taco Bell people.
Menus, which is sweet. Yeah, I just have dreams where I have to try to coordinate with a bunch of people all fucking night long to solve a problem of some sort in a place that's always like a summer camp kind of place. Like camp. It's always like a, you know, like a retreat type building type or like a dorm type. There's always a shit pile of people and there's always a goddamn problem and I'm always having to like deal with it or I'm having to run away and not get shot to death. It's one or the other. It's literally one or the other.
That's insane. That's such a recurring dream.
Oh, it sucks.
Speaking of recurring dreams, I had another tornado dream.
Shit.
Tornado dream.
Well, I feel like your body's like, it's tornado season. It's like coming tornado season. Like,
I think it was because I woke up and heard some pretty intense
the storms like, winds, are happening.
The storms there. We've had
some big ones.
And it just sort of happened. Because anytime I hear a storm, anything over a light rain, my brain somewhere is like, this could be a tornado. You should check an eye out. And I can usually recently here kind of brush that off because I'm like, yeah, it's winter. It's not happening. But now it's spooky. Anyway, I had myself another, except this one was a little more self-aware because, okay, you're of context. We're talking the tornado dream. I've got a reoccurring tornado dream where usually I look out and there's like, I don't know, anywhere from 7 to 40 really skinny
tornadoes. My brain, I've had the same kinds of dreams and they're off in the horizon and they're like little waterspout tornadoes, but there's just a shit pile of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And then usually in the back, there's like one big fucker that's coming, but these little ones are like the warning sign. But this one I had, and there was actually an underground bunker to escape to, which was rare.
Nice.
That never happens. And I was in the group of people, as always happens, and I'm trying to tell them about the tornado, but nobody listens. This time they were kind of like, yeah, they were like half listening. They were like, oh, yeah, we'll go get in the closet. I was like, oh, okay. And I remember looking out of the window and seeing this absolutely the same image I've had since adolescence. And in my dream going, wow, this is just like one of those tornado dreams I had, except it's real.
Awesome.
And, you know, I woke up and I was pissed off at myself.
Yeah.
Because why is dream me stupid?
Well, I feel like that showed some self-awareness, though. Like, I don't have that level of organization in my dreams. Like, I don't remember shit in my dreams, ever. Actually, that's not true. I've had multiple escape routes that I've had to remember in dreams I've had to run away in that I remembered. So,
you're like, I know if I go this way. That's wild.
Yeah, it sucks.
Dude.
But, you know, whatever. I sleep routinely. So that's the trade-off. I know that when I lay my head down at night at 9:30 to 10 p.m., I will generally sleep until about 6.
Yeah.
I'll trade it. It's fine.
You maybe gamble that you'll have a weird, I'm about to get shot to death dream.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll sleep.
But as somebody who you are always on the lookout for escape routes.
Oh, and hypervigilance, sort of baby.
Aware.
That's my game.
I feel like it's your brain. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Running, oh, I'm hypervigilant even in rest.
Yeah. Training program.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting ready for it.
Oh, yeah. The signs are all there. Big time.
Oh, no.
Oh, my word. Man. Oh,
wow. Jeez.
I am stoked though. Like I'm feeling a gust of wind, you know? Like I'm feeling like we're being,
about the weather?
Yeah, like it's lifting. It's changing. It's spring. Yeah. I love spring. Spring is probably my favorite time of the year. Like, and I like spring. I'm, and we're getting, and I know we're opposite on this, but we're get, for me, we're getting the storms. Mm-hmm. And I like them storms because the storms come in and I'm like, rattle me bones. And it's delicious. But like, I can look out right now. What brought this up? It was a sharp tangent, but I guess we're kind of talking about it. But still, I can just see the little limp, saggly little leaf baby drupelets that like kind of fold out like soft butterflies before the leaves harden. Like, you know how the leaves do that?
My brain was on rain.
Well, yes. Fair. But I'm looking at them now and I'm seeing them and I'm just like, God damn it. You're going to be leaves in like a week. It's going to happen so quick. And I just, dude, I'm so ready. I'm ready for leaves. When leaves come back is when I'm like, okay. It's over.
I enjoy spring for the smell, the very specific, you know, each season has its little smell that comes out.
Yes.
You know? I love the spring smell. It's like petrichor almost just like all the time sort of and like dirt and fresh things.
It's great.
I smelled the green onion smell the other day after some like, you know, when they like mow the highway down or whatever. And you get that fresh green onion smell.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like
that. I love
that.
I love it. I got my first whiff last week walking out in the woods. And finally, the soils are warm enough to, like, release, I guess, the volatile compounds that make it smell like dirt, that smell like moss and earth.
The dirt smell.
And it stopped me in my tracks. Like, it stopped me. And I just kind of shut my eyes and just breathed it in because it was just like – oh God.
It is a nice. It's a nice. Yeah. I am not a spring hater. I just feel like it's the I imagine that this is how people who have the reverse, like you, Mace, have the
reverse. How you
feel
about fall. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How it's like, oh, okay, fall's different. This is cool. I can chill with fall. Like I can chill with spring, but there is something nagging at me that's like, it's coming.
It's the gateway drug to summer.
Yeah. Which like, look, I'm glad that everyone is happy. Let's just all remember that sometimes when we make these sweeping, blanket statements online of like, we made it everyone. Just remember there are people out
mourning.
There with affective disorder in the other way. So, you know, sorry, I've just seen a lot of it. And it's like, I can only swallow so fucking much, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's part, it is. It's always, even if like, even coming into a season that this season suits me, even coming into it, anytime you're in a seasonal transition, you feel it, you know, like good ill, it tosses up so much. And I've really, especially since studying Ayurveda more, because so much of that involves like the elements and seasons and external factors. And it is so interesting to chart it because like, I do. I mean, you know, it's no secret. I love spring and I love heat and it's coming and all that. I have been a fucking mess. I have been a like whirled up, just airy squirrel rabbit hair type mess. And it just feels like that seasonal gust of it's springtime. It's a time of like, go, 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 go. All the animals and shit. Everything's moving. Everything's bursting. Yeah. And it can be a lot. So it's like, really, that's one thing that I think is important with any shift of the season, whether or not that it's like, I'm excited for it, is there's a lot of energy going on, just a lot. And springtime is a heavy hitter because it's such an explosion so quick and so it can rattle you.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
And, you know, especially after the quiet stillness.
Yes.
That is winter. You know,
it's so harsh.
It just feels like it takes off. And I like it. Like spring is a hopeful time. Mm-hmm. I always, when I get that spring smell, I just am like, what projects can I start? You know, and it's an uplifter. It is nice. This is, as we say, the time that you and I touch tips.
We do. We touch tips. We put our middle fingers together.
Yeah.
And
Right in front of Spring's face.
Right in front of it. And I cleared out boxes that have been in this recording area yesterday, maybe partially in, not since we've moved in, but at least for like 4 years. Like, and that is the beauty of spring. That is the beauty. Mm. But at the same time, I was like already exhausted when doing it, but was like, I have to do this. Yeah. I have to keep doing this. And that's when it's like, I'm getting worn out here by this wind this wind that just keeps pushing.
It's like, it's busy in summer, sure. Like, it's, there's stuff to do because it's, you know, light outside and warm or whatever. I don't know what you people fucking like about it, but like, sorry, I get to be a little bit bitter. But like, it's not, it's a different kind of energy. And at least you have a little bit of like a warm up to it. You know what I mean? Like, once you shift into summer, you're like, we've been going for a little while. We've been kicking.
That's, and it may be because I'm in a book that is deep involving sailing, but it kind of feels like spring is your, so you know, like in old fucking boats, like everything's all set up. They had to row them out of the harbor and they're getting all the sails right and everybody's getting everything ready. And then when you hit open water, everything like goes. I feel like that's summer. But spring is all of the rowing out of the fucking harbor. Yeah. It's getting everything set. It's lining everything up. Like, that's where we are right now. And it is exhausting. Yeah. Like, because
I've seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. And so it's just like, that's kind of what it feels like is right now, is that it's just like in that time. But it will get me to the point, especially as a very airy person, like I'm all air in body and chart. I will almost be at the end, like, I want to not be doing anything anymore. But my body is like, but feel it, feel the spring, feel the wind. And it's just like, but I am done. Like, I need to stop. My feet.
Let's float away.
Like, the soles of my feet kind of feel bruised because I've taken too many footsteps around this fucking house today. So it's like, I feel it. And so just be aware of that in seasons in general. And once I've become aware of how I respond to seasons, it has helped me like force myself to like, that was one of the reasons of wanting to start Kushiel's Chosen. It makes me sit because I'm not listening to it. I'm reading it. So I'm having to sit and read it for a few hours a day and rest my body, which frankly has been starting to be like creaking. It's like, we need to sit down and stop moving.
Crackling Slim.
I'm becoming the Crackling Slim. And yes. So as it has done multiple times in my life, the Kushiel's Legacy series by Jacqueline Carey comes in to bring me nourishment.
It's like your new Mad Men.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And I've already got a plan for Mad Men. I'm probably going to have to get my wisdom teeth taken out this year, and I'm already terrified about it. And I don't know when. Congrats. I'm putting it off. I don't want to. I have a cavity in one of them, and they're like, we're not going to work on it. No one's going to work on it. You're going to have to get it removed. And at that point, I might as well get them all out. Even though they're straight, they're fine. But like, it's going to happen to the other one, and I might as well just fucking, I don't want to do any of this. But
it sucks, but it's not. It's not, I honestly, having my wisdom teeth out was less bad than some other dental things that I've.
That's what I hope for. Hunter had a good experience too. His was fine.
And it's the after.
That's what I don't want. Oh, yeah. I don't care about the procedure. Knock me out. Wipe me out. I don't care.
Yeah.
After that.
The procedure passes like a blink.
No, it's once I wake. It's everything after.
I forgot how much anesthesia, like.
Oh, boom.
Skips. You just do a time skip.
Yeah.
Like, more so than even sleeping. You just are just suddenly, you're like, oh, I'm here now.
You're gone. Well, shit. I don't remember where I was with that. It's okay.
You're probably going to have to get your wisdom teeth out.
It's the fucking wind. Oh.
Mad Men.
Mad Men. That is the perfect, just kind of slimy, writhing in agony, but also just awesome fucking show energy that I feel like I'm going to want to be in. I feel like it's going to suit my mood, because Mad Men is a mood. It's a state of mind. And I always have to be in a certain place to watch it. And it's not always when I'm feeling like I am feeling so up and alive. I usually watch Mad Men when I kind of am at some sort of like transitional point or tipping point or needing to figure something. It's like, I need to go to,
the
wall.
You're like, I gotta put my life together.
I gotta watch Mad Men. And for some reason, I've done it two times all the way through, and both times have shifted directions in my life. But that's good. I don't know why, but I just know it inherently. I know it deeply. I'm going to watch it when I get my wisdom teeth out all the way through. It's also long enough to span a good amount of time.
That is so stressful to me. Because I like shows, and I can watch a show again if I am showing it to somebody. Mm-hmm. But the amount of times I've rewatched a show just for enjoyment is maybe, I don't know if I've ever done it, just by myself, been like, I'm going to watch this again.
Like, but all the way through, start to finish. Yeah. You mean like not just picking a random episode, but like just going
but
for
like
it.
Watching it all, like start to finish all the way through. And the only things I have really done that with would be some of the Mike Flanagan stuff. But that's real. That's not the. That's not the same as six seasons.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, all it's a handful of the episodes. Way through. I've only done it a few times. I've rewatched Friends all the way through because Hunter had never seen it, so we watched it all the way through after we bought the house. I watched all the way through The Office once and never want to do that again, but I did it. It was great, but that show gives me so much anxiety. And
you're not a cringe watcher.
I'm not a cringe watcher. Mm. I've rewatched through BoJack Horseman probably five or six times, which is another one that I don't need to like. It's not as serious. It is a very serious show, but it's not as intense to me as Mad Men is for a lot of reasons, because Mad Men just makes me furious. But like BoJack Horseman just makes you that is a show of inwardness. It is a show of self-study, even though it is this wild, colorful, weird-looking show about animals, and that can make it so hard, but it's so fucking fantastic. But we've watched that a lot. That's probably the most rewatched show I have. That's that long is probably BoJack Horseman all the way through. Yeah.
I just can't do it.
I like to, I don't know why, but I'm not comforted that much by super soft things. Like, I almost feel like I'm patronized, which is not, that probably means something I need to look into, but like, I kind of like a little bit of, except like with the exception being like Bob's Burgers. Like I'll, you know, like right. That's a huge comfort show for us.
Yeah.
But like, that's about as soft as I will. Mm-hmm. Go, you know.
I was about to agree with you, but I remember I did have a pretty strong stint with the British Bake Off. So, like,
yeah, I will say there's been a time when I was working my really stressful corporate job, I ran through, but it was the like OG earlier seasons, and those are pretty perfect. Honestly, they're pretty.
They're very soft.
They're though. Very oh, yeah. soft. Oh yeah, very not very. Gentle. They're not like an American competition show at all.
God, can you imagine all of the like added in boom boom?
Oh God, know? The booms! Somebody throws a booms, punch.
The squeaky gate.
Oh God, I'd watch it, but like
I'd watch the hell out of it. You kidding me? I kind of want to watch the newest season of Love is Blind because everybody keeps talking about it.
Everybody and I'm like, is talking about Love is Blind. Like, I'm hearing it from, and like, talking about it like that it's really good, not like talking about it because it's shit, but like talking about it like it's like, you got to watch Love is Blind.
Yeah. And I've seen things about it, you know, like not everything would be a surprise, but like, I don't even know. Listen, this is how much I don't know. Is it like you can just watch the most recent season or do you have to watch the other? Like, how deep is this? Because I thought they just put you in these pods and they have you talk to each other and they switch them out and you just pick one that you like. And that was the show. But apparently they like get out of the pods at some point. And like get to live. I don't know.
It's not just the Matrix.
One girl that everybody's bullying because she said she the looks Megan like Fox Megan comment. Fox.
Yeah, I've seen it online, and that's really all that I know about it.
You know
it.
What? A, don't be assholes, people. I think she's a perfectly lovely girl. But also B, in the eyes, I see it a little bit. So shut up.
Like I that's the thing. Like
just like a little here, but like whatever.
It's fine. Is it a risk to say that? Sure.
I mean,
but I don't think it's as far gone
if
as people.
If someone can't see me, I'm not going to be like, you know who I look like.
Yeah, I'm
Charlize Theron.
I'm not going to oversell and underdeliver. Yeah. I don't want to do that. But like, I see it though. And I feel like people are being so fucking vicious when like, I saw a side to side and I was like, I could see being told, like she's probably been told that before. Yeah.
It's
okay.
Imagine the people who you've been like, oh, you look like so-and-so too. And it's like, maybe a little, sure.
Sure, I'll like take it. And sometimes you hear it enough times. Like, I've been told I've looked like a few people enough times, even though I don't see it at all, to where it's like, it must be true. Emma Stone the most. Has been since I... Mostly vocal. That is...
Vocal, I, yeah, absolutely.
But face...
You both have the...
Maggie Gyllenhaal, which that one I actually kind of see. But, like, I have gotten Maggie Gyllenhaal a lot. And the woman who played... Oh, I don't know her name. Is it Eva something? She was in Mrs. Whatever's Home for Peculiar Children. She's been in a lot of shit. She was also in The Golden Compass as the witch. I don't remember her name, but she's pale and she's got black hair. A lot of them are dark hair a lot of the time. I don't remember her name.
I have to look her often.
But those are like my... And during the prime time Jennifer Lawrence years, I got her occasionally.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, yeah.
Round faces.
It's the round
with
face.
Long brown hair and round faces. Yeah.
What did you say? The Golden Compass?
I think she was in the Golden Compass, but that's a big cast. Probably. What was that book? It's not Foster's Eva Home Green. For Peculiar. Eva Green. Yeah, I've gotten Eva that Green. One, which that one I do not see at all. But I've heard it enough times where I'm like, I'll take it. But she's very sculpted and I'm very round in my face. So I've never seen that as much. But I take it because I think she's beautiful.
Turn your head to like a 45 degree to the camera. It might be okay, here's the thing. I could kind of see it. Mm. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the chin.
The chin.
I don't know, man.
She has a strong jaw. But yeah, every time I take it, I hear it, I'm like, sweet. I don't see it, but like, thanks.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Feather in the cap. Mm. It's nice.
Feather in the cap. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Have you ever gotten do you ever get any doppelgangers?
Yeah, I feel like there's a running thread. I feel like any plus size person will tell you that you'll get a couple standards. You'll get Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, sure.
You'll get Rebel Wilson in the larger years. One though that I get and I do totally see, and I also there's this chick on TikTok. What's her name? Cheyenne. She does this character. She's, first of all, she's gorgeous. Like when she's, I don't want to say when she's not in character, she's gorgeous, but like, she's definitely different. Hold on. I'm going to have to look at her. I'll look her up here in a bit and I'll put a picture. Maybe we'll just put a picture of her up on Facebook for no reason.
No context.
But she does this character where she's like super trashy. Think like laser.
Okay.
Esque,
okay,
like no sleeve wearing. She's kind of like real rough. She like slicks her hair back, nice. And like one of her very first viral videos is her sitting at a kitchen table like with a cigarette in her mouth and a roach crawls across it and she like picks her tit up and slaps.
I know
it
her
it.
Now. Okay, I've you seen know, okay. that video.
You know
yes,
her?
Yes.
I get her.
That's awesome.
But like even out of that just like I do feel like we have similar like facial
features. That's how I feel the most about Maggie Gyllenhaal, because she has very distinctive cheeks and lines kind of that are just like because of her cheeks around her mouth.
Yeah.
And I have both of those features.
Not as pronounced.
Yeah, but it's like I see them. So that one's I'm like, oh, so I get what you mean by that. It's like I could see the lines. The lines are there. Yeah.
I tried to find it. I simply can't.
That's okay.
Anyway, wow. Listen, if you were to look like, if you had to pick your celebrity doppelganger, who are you picking?
Ooh, so, okay, question.
Has to be similar.
I was just going to say, does this mean I'm morphing my features to look like them, or that, like, someone would tell me I look like them and I'd be, like, tight? Yes. Actually, y'all have very similar cheeks. Like
and the nose kind of like a wide nose.
Cheeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But also I do have that sleeveless shirt with like the bald eagle, like chugging a beer on it. And it says America. And I do feel very much her. Okay. Yeah. You cannot morph your entire body. This has to be someone that you've received on somewhat of a regular basis, I guess.
Okay. That.
Let's just say you get to become.
I am them for a day. Yeah. Or two. Ooh, that is immediately terrifying because the prospect of fame is so scary. But ooh, let me think here. Because here's the thing: these people might be. I'm like, does this day involve me going to like a Scientology center? I don't know anything about these people. You know, I was like, what if, dude? Like, you took this deal, but you like didn't know this like the rules, and like that is how your day is spent because it's Hollywood.
And you learn some dark shit. See, that would be my choice. I would want to be like Illuminati level.
No, God, no.
And just learn some shit.
No.
Although it would be weird from like the Scientology and or whoever you picks, like their point of view. They're just going about their daily routine and in walks this celebrity looking nervous. And they're like, I forgot. What do we do here? What are all the secrets again?
Oh, my God. You know what I wonder? Who does the craft services for Scientology meetings?
More Scientologists.
I guess so. Chef-tologists. They can't, yeah, they don't probably contract that out.
Who's the chef? Who are the chefs in Scientology? The Illuminati, I guess, or whoever. Whatever. I don't know why I'm combining Illuminati.
Yeah, they are not. They don't. But, they are not the same.
But yeah, Scientology is very much a real problem. The other one, I don't know. Maybe like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. What if? That's what I mean. Because like, what if it's like, oh, I would love to trade places with fucking, I don't know, one of my people, I guess, would be among the pantheon of Emma Stone, Jennifer Lawrence, Maggie Gyllenhaal, or Eva Green. But like, you don't know what they're into. What if that day is you? Again, I'm trapped in a book here. What if that day involves you going to the fucking leather room? I mean, it's not to say it would be a bad day, you know, but like, you could be totally surprised. Whoops. You don't know what that day is going to be like.
Listen, I want you to become Maggie Gyllenhaal so you can call up your brother and say, hey, what really happened with Taylor?
And then sell that information for a tremendous amount of money because I am neutral in that game completely.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you switch back, her life is ruined. Just be like, her family will not speak to her.
You know, and be like, I got my money. So,
but listen, they can just track. They're like, okay, Maggie Gyllenhaal, looks like you made an enormous transfer to somebody named Macy.
But how do you prove that shit? How are you going to prove? What are you going to say? I traded my face with her? Had my face?
Listen, if you're in the Scientology, they might be like, yeah, okay, we know. We've seen this before. We'll fix this.
I think this is a perfect plan. No holes. It's going to be perfect.
I think that I would pick just for shits, just for my own chaotic giggle fest, I would pick one of these people with like a sterling reputation.
Mm.
I'm talking like Weird Al Yankovic.
Awesome.
I would pick one of these people, absolutely spotless record, could really do some good in
someone
the world.
Someone really beloved. Yeah.
Go out on a stage and I'd have them like put a kitten in a chokehold or something.
Damn.
And then I'd go back to my own body and just know that I got to ruin a little slice of a good thing.
It's like the butterfly effect. You get like, yeah. And this is changing. This is making this a much more edged game. But what if that is the game? It's like you pick one celebrity with one act and you can't like murder anyone. Okay.
Okay.
But like one thing and like that, but it can't just be it's got to be something off the wall that they would never do. And you get one shot at it.
Right.
That was terrible. That's terrifying.
I would whip my little weenie out. And I would just, go to Walmart with my wiener out.
That's too easy. You got to be more creative than that. Like, I mean, this has to be it's like, we're talking, again, I'm deep in a fucking book here. This is like a game, okay? So, like, we've got, like, you got to. I'm also coming out of Kim recommended me a great book, by the way, everybody who's interested in wanting a good book recommendation, called The Night Circus. Fantastic book. So fucking fantastic. It's not like this game that I'm spinning, but it involves making these creative, like, or these like creations, and it has me thinking about it. But like, you get one like, wow.
Give me
moment.
My parameters.
Yeah. And so it's like, I feel like that's it. For instance, like if it's like a musician performer, it's something you have to do when they would be on stage. And it's tough. It's tough. But I would want it to be something stupid. Like here's the thing. I don't want to ruin anyone's life, but I would like to make it so that their publicist the next day has world of shit on their hands, you know? Yeah. But like, in the question of
I don't want it to be bad.
Why would they do this? You know?
Yeah.
So like a super duper off the wall thing.
Okay. You are Beyonce for a day.
Okay.
You have a big concert to do. You've got a show. I don't know how things work. You go out, you stomp out on stage, and then what? What do you do?
I quietly, succinctly, and with great seriousness prepare sushi rolls. I don't sing.
And then you just leave and go home.
I don't look at the audience. I roll them up, and then I eat them in front of them. Like, I make my own roll.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Put on like
make them
put on
hear,
Breaking Bad.
Make
like,
them
on
hear
laptop.
The sounds. I'm mic'd up so they hear my sushi eating sounds, you know, like dip all the rice, you know how sticky it is. And then I take my headset off, turn off the TV, and walk away.
And just leave. You know what? Somebody would probably praise it as like
performance art. Yeah, like pull like a Shia LaBeouf at the end and just stand up and just clap.
Okay, I'm Taylor Swift. I'm walking out on the stage. I am asking everyone to hand me $1 from their pocket. And then I take that money and I go home and I let everyone be super mad that this billionaire, gagillionaire, just took a dollar from everybody and left.
I know. I'm having to keep my mouth shut on my opinions because I want to be like, she doesn't fucking do that already. But I, well, there it is. But yeah, I feel like that one's like, I wouldn't be that surprised. But
don't get the Swifties.
I know.
You.
It's
you
actually very
that.
Frightening. I have to, I don't want to lose half of our audience. But you know what? It'd be easy money. It'd be a whole night. That'd be like, that's a lot of singles.
And if it's in cash, you hide it, you stash it.
Yeah, you don't
somewhere.
Even gotta. I mean, like the news would report it, but they don't know the serial numbers on them dollars. They don't know them dollars.
Yeah. Ooh, that is a whole other thing. Is how would you launder this money? Is this crime?
She's a billionaire capitalist. I have a hard time believing she doesn't know how to hide her money. She's probably you could just should put it somewhere. Invest.
Yeah.
Go buy property. Go, you know, that's the thing. Get all the money and then go buy a stupid cool property with it. That's what I would do.
I would divorce my partner. I'd pick like a long-standing couple that has been together for a long time. And I would tell them, though. I'd be like, listen, this is just a publicity stunt, you know. But I would do something to cause ruckus, you know. Like a couple that everybody really loves. Mm-hmm. You know, like Pierce Brosnan and his wife.
Damn.
Because nobody can believe he's with her, you know, but, you know, or like, you know, I'm Jack Black and I come out and, you know,
damn.
I don't know, pepper spray a child or something.
Oh, dude,
I really
can you imagine if it was, you're coming in like a chaos agent in this. Jack Black would be a good game person for this, because it would be such a shock. It would be someone beloved. That would just be like, what? Like,
they did what?
They did what?
I
don't want to take it. That was going to be like him robbing a gas station, but I'm like, but that would give him a record. I don't want to do anything like this.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be less.
Well, I guess pepper spraying a child
that,
would also,
but like, you know, it would
but
be
like,
shocking.
Yeah, I could sit here and think about the weird shit that celebrities could do. But you know what? I think nothing would be weirder than finding out I think about that. Like, this keeps me up at night. I'm like, what's the weird shit, though, that already goes down?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Oh, so much weird shit. You hear those blind, what do they call them? Blind items or whatever, where somebody's basically like, they're like deep throat to the paparazzi. And they're like, look, this is what happened. But you can't say who's telling you this. Yeah. Just that it happened. You read some of those and it's like, I don't know. You say 80% of them are bullshit. But if even one of those things happened, it's weird.
You never know.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
They're weird. At what point, what happens to you when you get so much? Is it the money or the fame that makes you just turn into a monster, an inhuman monster?
To bring it back, in BoJack Horseman, and this isn't from the show, it's a common thing, but they bring up that that you forever stay the age you get famous. And so when you get famous as like a, you know, if you're very young, when you hit your full fame, that you don't really ever mentally mature beyond it because you don't have to. And so it's like that is, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I always think about that now because of that as that show. But like, that could be why, is that like... Because think about it, dude. Like, imagine getting famous as how you were at 22 years old. Mm-mm. Like, I can't even imagine it. Like, I think about that with, like, young artists right now, like Olivia Rodrigo. She's young. And she's huge. And I just can't imagine what that does. Because, like, I freak out some days knowing that we've got just the way, way smaller in comparison amount of listeners that we do. And that every week I say words into a microphone that people then hear. And, like, that will make me kind of be like, okay. Like, and it makes me spin, you know, but
there's
like,
responsibility here.
Yeah. You know, so like, I can't imagine it being millions and millions and millions and millions. And even saying like, and I know I was being kind of shitty earlier, but even on this, on the stage of like Taylor Swift, to be to where you cannot even move at all without it being ripple affected and talking about, you know, like,
right.
I yeah. just can't imagine. That scares me to death. That is so frightening to me.
And that's the thing we talk about, you know, celebrities, like they're horrible people. And you listen, they are. But I think how people talk is also really shitty. Like, have you seen this? Have you seen all this shit about Timothée Chalamet being fat shamed?
That's dangerous. That can't
be
real.
He is so small.
Yeah, that can't be real. That I feel like that is something that had to have been
he's
picked up. Oh, like in his life he has been?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he has put on weight as of recently, and I don't even think it's, like, he's put on weight. I think he's just, you're used to seeing little baby Timothée Chalamet, yes. and he's growing up into an adult, so his face fills out different or whatever. But people are so vicious. They're like, oh, twink death. And it's like,
oh, that's shitty.
Fuck.
Yeah, that sucks.
Christ,
no,
can
I
you imagine?
I did not know
hearing
that.
Shit like that when you were that young? Oh, I would
Isn't
drive
he like 30 years old? How old is he? I think he is.
The would just be my surprise. Let me remind everyone I'm 35.
He's 28. He's 28. He's say okay. He's still. But yeah.
But he is just so
he's very fine boned. Like him and Dune.
Yes.
He's very slight. That is the word I would use. He's of a slight frame, but no, that's very shitty. I was not aware
or,
of that.
Like, what's his Basketball Jones? What's his name? High School Musical. Zac Efron.
Efron.
This was a bouncing ball. This wasn't like me trying to, but like, you know, like how he ripped his entire lower face off and had to get it fixed, and now everybody's like. His plastic surgery looks like shit.
Well, that's actually, so if you want to have a little bit of a deeper dive with that, that seems to be, if you want a little bit of celebrity goss. So that's,
is it bullshit?
He did have a very severe accident, but it was in 2011. And he looked very normal until 2020 or so. So that seems to me, listen, I don't know shit. I'm not a celebrity conspiracy, but this is something that this came into my purview one day and I chased it. And it seems to be that it's like, well, it's because of the accident, but it's like, yeah, but that happened when he was like in 2011. So why did he suddenly?
Are we TMZ now? I'm all for people doing whatever they want to do to their face.
Say what you fucking got. Don't, because the way that I say is I don't care either. Do what you want, but don't make it. It could just be. It can become a problem when people think that's reality and it's not anything else, you right. know? And that's why I like yeah. it. Be like, if you want to get, I'm all for people getting whatever they fucking want done to their bodies.
Right.
Just.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Don't act like you didn't do nothing, you know? Especially
well, I mean, it's like,
if it's.
With that situation,
yeah.
at least
don't
he's
gaslight
like,
people with a lie, if that's what's going on. You know, this could all be.
Right,
but like,
right,
don't
right,
make
right,
up
right.
something
yeah.
else and be like, no. It'd be like, yeah. I.
Well,
listen,
I think
this is
like,
a tough industry. I felt I needed to get work done to remain relevant.
You can see his version that's like, whether it's true or not, he's at least, like, he is still saying, like, yeah, I got something done. Like, oh, I had to, whether or not that, whatever. I don't
know. And I
shit.
Guess, you know what? Maybe the past injury led to having to have more shit done in 2020. So for all I
Do
know,
you remember
maybe it's related.
In, like, I think it was like 2016 when Kylie Jenner just became a whole different person and then insisted nothing happened.
That's what I mean.
That to me
that,
was
it's the
dangerous.
Extremes. That's what yeah. I mean. It's like, you know, because you,
like,
can
you can't go from looking 14 to looking 24.
Yeah. Like, just,
yeah.
it's okay. You know?
It's okay.
But
I want to get my fucking lips filled, dude.
I'm a little worried about filler just because it seems like it's not breaking down always as intended. And that worries me a little. Like,
yeah,
because if it's just migrating around in there, that stresses
me. Well, just as
me.
I talk myself into things, I talk yeah. myself out of them just as quickly.
But I mean, I'm not you judging. Know, I've got my Botox appointment at the end of the month again. So,
well,
like,
see,
you know,
I've thought about it because I've got these deep wrinkles. And apparently, listen, I was looking into these deep ass forehead wrinkles. And I don't know if this is true, but I saw someone say, if you have like a. I don't want to say strong, but if you have like a connect, like a German ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a thing, apparently.
Mm.
Which would make sense, because, you know, that happened. But listen, it would just give me some fucking peace of mind.
I miss it, because I've not had it in a long time. I mean, it's well worn off now. But I miss it.
I'm scared they're going to hit my vein and give me botulism.
I don't think this. I mean, that's the thing. It's not, things can happen. I don't want to, you know, speak against that. But like, I miss it because I'm getting headaches again. Like, I move my face so much.
You need to,
and it's such like, a release when
I feel like I'd want it here. Cause this is, I'm always tightening here.
And it's in right now. And we've been recording for an hour and 12 minutes just from talking. Like, my head hurts, and it's right here from my scalp of moving so much. And I'm counting the days down. I cannot wait to not have the dull ache at the end of the day from moving my face so much.
I get so scared because I'll want it, you know, and I'll think of good reasons for it. Like, I sweat a lot at my hairline. Mm. So I'm like, maybe that could help.
Yeah, I've heard of it for underarms and stuff like that, for sweating.
Yeah, but I'll hear about things that talk me out of it. Like, I've not had a tattoo in my entire life. And I've always been like, ooh, you know, it'd be cool. Ooh, I'm going to get this tattoo out. And I will get to the, I'll tuck myself to the fucking edge. And I was doing that again recently. I was like, I think it's about time. But then I learned about party dots, where,
I don't
like,
know what that is.
I just saw a bunch of TikToks of, because I follow a lot of tattoo shops and like tattoo related stuff, because I'm like interested in it. But then there was things going around. I was like, hey, show me your party dot, like to a bunch of people that worked at a tattoo. And if you do tattoos, you already probably know what I'm talking about. But it's like when you're doing a tattoo on someone and you fuck up, like you reach over.
Oh, you've accidentally, like gotten yourself with the.
And you could just get, it's just like a little dot, like a little Phoebe dot on your body of where you fucked up. But then I'm just like, do they tell you if they do that? Like, because then or do they just go back to sticking you? Like, what happens in that?
Oh, no, it's taken, situation? That's going to be taken very, at any reputable shop, that's a complete stop. You're going to have to reset, the machine. You're going to have to get a new, like, at a reputable place. That is going, they would want to clean that wound immediately.
I would be so scared.
Yeah, no. Like, I've only been to two tattoo shops, but both of them, I took my time finding seriously good, reputable, nice shops, and that would be a complete serious situation at either of
them. I don't want to be offensive to somebody, and I feel like the only way I will be perfectly comfortable getting a tattoo is if I can be like, if you hit yourself, are you gonna tell me?
Like, but
you know,
that's the
shit
thing,
like that, like, and it's offensive.
Yeah, I get the concern, but also they are going to be just as disappointed they mixed your blood in their blood. So, like,
but see, that's where the thing happens, because it's like, I can be like, you know, my blood's fine. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they're going to want to deal with it. Right. Yeah. The last time I got my bird done, it wasn't even that close of a call, but like it was just like a slip, but it wasn't even anywhere near, but it was one of those moments. And even in that moment, it was kind of a joke, but it was like, kind of thought we were going to have to stop everything, because like it was like a, but no, it would be taken very, very seriously.
What happened?
Like that happened. It like, he was changing out some stuff. He was, I don't know tattoo stuff, but like needed new needles and needed to change the cartridge because it was a free one or whatever, or like one of the disposable cartridges that goes on the ones without cords now. And it almost like got his fingers. And he was saying like, I would have had to have stopped and immediately cleaned this whole fucking hand, because like, I don't want your blood in me, basically. But I wasn't offended by that, because that's a very smart way of thinking. And if like, if I go into
I would offend them as an artist.
But no, any shop that is good, they're going to take, it's going to be, dude, the sterilization element of it is so fucking serious. Like it, and I've come to associate that smell with tattoos too. The smell of like hospital disinfectant. Mm. Like, it's a very specific smell, but like, I think of it with tattoos, because so much of stuff, because routinely throughout the process, things are cleaned, you know, and like, it's a constant thing. And so like, I oftentimes aftercare soap sometimes is like, it smells like nurse scrub, like medical scrub.
I was going to say, Does tattoos stink after you get them?
No.
After you peel off that inky bag of pus and blood and ink and plasma?
Dude, there's no pus in it, for one, but there better not be. And but it is lymph, and all of that, and ink, and it's sticky. But no, it does not stink. It's just, it's very clean. It's basically, I mean, by that point, when you get that Saniderm or Tegaderm or whatever they use, like, it'll peel a little bit, but it's pretty largely, like, it's going to look the way it looks, you know, at that point. It's very exciting. I love peel-off day.
Gross.
Oh, because, like, you go, because after it's been on a couple days, like, you can't see hardly, you know, it's just, it's all kind of black and kind of all whirled underneath there. But when you take it off, after,
because all the pus.
No, it's not pus. If it's, if you're, if you've got infection under there, dude, that's a serious problem. But like, it's so, because like, you can't, and then like, it's such a reveal because you're watching it go down, like you're seeing, and then it's so bright and clean and perfect underneath because it's like, sometimes, like, by the time it's time to take the bandage off, because it is, it's kind of muddy under there. Like, I hope it's okay under there. And then you see it, and it's just, like, this beacon of brand new tattoo.
You do it in the shower, yeah?
Yeah. And I like to get kind of hot and sweaty before, just to kind of loosen the bandage. Because those, like, those little clear, sterile bandages, they grip you. They're on there. And I'm not, like, allergic to latex, but I do always kind of have, like, a mild... like ring around where the, like, you know, you can see the outline for some reason, like a perfect square,
you get a little
line
around contact dermatitis.
Yeah, for a couple days, but never on the tattoo, just like around the edge, which is really strange. I don't know why, but I'm already itching for another one, which is interesting because I was very satiated for years after the last one, but the last one, dude, is like centered on my back, right? Yeah. But now I've popped the cherry on my arm, and I'm like, you know what would look good? More on this arm, because I've just got one and I would love to sleeve it out. And I've just been chewing on the idea.
She's caught the fever.
I have. And I want a little mouse standing up on its back legs, presenting a little blackberry up.
That's cute.
Yeah. Like Beatrix Potter style, like cute little, that's what I want. This is going to be sweetie.
I want a barbed wire fence that says trespassers will be shot.
Damn. Very, very Texas. I see those all the time. I've seen many a barbed wire fence with a sign that says trespassers will be shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know it. My ring light decided it's time.
I saw, I've been watching, I saw it fall by the light that it cast on its way down. I could see the shift of the light.
I can't get it to sit. All right. Well, wow. This has been a very demure, a very calm.
I feel like it has been very gossipy. I feel strange gossiping so much on our show, but it is.
I feel strange talking about celebrities.
I know. That's what I mean. Ugh. I feel weird doing celebrity gossip, but it just kind of came out. And
dude,
it's
listen,
here now.
This is our breakout. This is like our hit it big episode where we just go big on like
celebrity gossip.
Celebrity gossip.
Oh my God.
Ring.
I would be so bad at that show.
Our next one,
I don't know, like, anyone.
We'll give you, you know, fucking $10,000 to do more episodes. I don't know how much, whatever.
Dude.
And they were like, okay, our next episode is like, so, Frank Sinatra. he's a sleazy dude.
I don't have it. I couldn't do it. And I say this now, having said multiple things on the show that were catty, but I can't do it for a prolonged period of time before feeling really dirty.
No, that's the thing. It doesn't make me feel good.
I don't feel,
like,
good.
Now,
I already feel,
like,
guilty about being a few minutes ago. So I couldn't do it. But
I already feel like a little gross. So,
but you know, it. What if?
Listen.
Wouldn't that be ironic? Like, we do this show for like 5 years. And it chugs along, and then we do one celebrity goss episode, and we get approached by like one of the big boats of podcasting. He's like, "Do you want to sign under our label?" What if
you lucky kid sign? gross.
Yeah.
Also, but listen, we would come by it naturally. We've got it in our Southern lady genes.
Oh, we can. We do have opinions. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they run.
We could call it.
I just saw your eyes go dead.
They just
glazed.
My first that was like tea on the porch, you know, because like tea spilling, you know, mm-hmm. tea podcast. But like,
makes me think of TMZ.
That's already a podcast, and yeah. I'm so sorry.
Probably is. Yeah,
I think it is. Fuck it. I don't know. We'll call it the Witch Bitch Celebrity Hour.
You know what? Great pivot. Really clear branding that lets the audience, like, is it witchcraft? Is it celebrity? You don't know, because it's not clear. A little bit of
both, maybe.
Yeah.
We talk about celebrities that are witches.
There's a handful. Mm-hmm. They're out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, work. I'm going to leave now.
We're not going to do any of this, by the way. This is our one and only, like, probably in a while, celebrity. It stays in the silly. What happens to the silly soad stays in the silly soad.
That's a good tagline for the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Switzerland. Right. It's neutral ground. We leave it, like MILF Manor, we leave it on leap day to rest.
Speaking of, good segue, join us tomorrow for Wimp Cap.
Yes, we're gonna figure out
do the poll.
It's gonna be we'll throw a poll up there, and y'all can choose, and then we'll go from there. I guess you can email us if you're into that. You can shoot us an email. You can send us an email wbhpodcast
if you're into that.
If you like sending emails,
send us your spooky sodes, guys. And if you sent a spooky sode in the past and we haven't read it yet. Send it again.
There's a bunch. And just know that there's a bunch. And we go through about 6 per episode when we do listener stories. Longer when we kind of burn through them with the full ones. But like, so just know we work our way through them. But like, there's a catalog there. So don't be sad if it hasn't been read yet. It's not because we were like, ew, gross. It's just because we have not gotten to it yet.
Ew, we hate this
we actually
person.
Don't read them ahead of time. We read them live with you guys, so there's no bias. Prints are closed. Prints will be shipping out next week, so if you ordered one, we'll get that raffle drawn soon. We just need to coordinate that, but we will let y'all know on that, so keep an eye out going for your prints. And that's mostly that.
And that's the news.
That's the way the news goes.
I haven't thought about that in so long, dude. Okay, I'm gonna leave. Y'all have a good week. See you tomorrow. Catch you up next week.